following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Monday Night Football the same way. You think this is a great matchup, and then sometimes it doesn't turn out to be that way.
But on Thursday night, does it matter from the standpoint of if you're the NFL, you're going to get a pretty decent audience just because there's not as much competition. So maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe they'll get people watching that maybe wouldn't watch it on a Sunday. So maybe it isn't that big a deal to have a mediocre matchup. I don't know.
I still don't get the NFL Network, but I'm never home, so I don't worry about that. Right. I overpay for my cable, and I don't get the NFL Network. But if I need to go watch the game tonight, I can go watch it at the Chicken Coop, Kearney, Grand Island, where they have got great, great food specials for you at the Chicken Coop, 2115 Avenue A in Kearney. You know, on Mondays, they've got Monday Night Football for you, and they've got the Coop Koozie special. This is brand new, folks. Stop into the Chicken Coop in Kearney for Monday Night Football. Buy the Coop Koozie for $5 and enjoy 12-ounce cold ones from 7 to close for only $1 a piece. I know some folks that can really take advantage of that on their night off on a Monday.
They might lose money with some of the people you know.
A lot of the people I know. But then again, it's all there for you. Thursday night football tonight, your favorite college, your favorite NFL. There's enough TVs that you can watch your baseball, you can watch your golf, you can watch whatever it is you want at the Chicken Coop. And, of course, they're open 7 days a week with a lunch special every single day for you at the Chicken Coop in Kearney, whether you want a salad, whether you want one of their great chicken sandwiches, boneless, bone-in. Maybe you just want a steak. They can do that for you as well. Burger, pizza, it's all there for you at the Chicken Coop, 2115 Avenue A in Kearney. Going to talk a little bit about the Huskers here and see what Monty thinks through two games. There's overreaction game one, and then there's see what happens game two. But the point being now, Monty, that we're 2 days away from UCLA. This is the game that everybody has been pointing to because it's the first so-called big game. It is a top 20 opponent. 17th in the country, depending on 16th, 17th, depending on which one of the polls you look at. Nebraska 15 and 23rd. Huskers favored by about 4 to 5, depending where you're at right now. But how much did we learn from game one to game two is where I want to start here.
That's where we want to start, we'll go with this. I think we learned a lot. We learned about the progress that this team will make, can make, because of the youth and the inexperience that we have, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Nobody's saying that Southern Miss had a great offense. You talk about overreaction after week one. Well, there's certainly overreaction to the other side after week two from a lot of people saying, oh, we're back, look how good we are, blah, blah. The fact of the matter is we're going to see a lot of inconsistency when you have inexperience and youth, and that front seven is young. Now, why we're so young in front seven, that's a topic for another show, because you shouldn't be that young necessarily at this point. But we got some studs there, but they're young, they're inexperienced. So my big question is, I expected that in game one, especially the offense we were facing with Wyoming and what they do to you from the X's and O's standpoint. Game two, I expected to see that. And interesting to see the shuffling of personnel. You know, David Santos, who got one of the black shirts, all of a sudden he's third team. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that he's been playing so poorly? No, not necessarily. It tells me that Josh Manderis is a player, and he is a player. There's no disputing that. But he's also playing his third college football game this Saturday.
And I think sometimes, obviously, young kids, anybody, can get complacent. Santos knew that it was his job coming into the fall. It'll be interesting down the road when this is something that can be talked about, what actually happened to him over the summer.
If he got complacent, he hasn't been paying attention, because you don't get complacent with this coaching staff and the young talent that's around there. So I don't think it's as much a fact of what he hasn't done. I think they've got some guys that are coming pretty hard. So my next question is, what's the reaction going to be from some of those guys that are getting pushed or have been overtaken by the young guys? Because your natural reaction is, your reaction is one of two things. Your reaction is, okay, I got to go back and I got to battle and I got to win that spot back. Or it's, well, you know what, I'm an older player and they've picked this guy over me and I'm going to back off a little bit. If you have, I've said this forever, if you have quality, real competition each day in practice, and it's a coaching cliche, but it makes teams way better. And that's what we have that we haven't had for quite some time.
Doug Duda, Monty Kratzenstein with you on the Doug and Daddy Show. If you've got a question, a thought, a comment, love to hear from you. Give us a buzz at 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776 is the Bruce Furniture fan line. Of course, you can always email the Dent Popper inbox, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Monty, you do a great job of breaking down what you've watched, what you have thought you have found out, and as we always say, the fans always think they know a lot. I have to chuckle and throw this in here. To Nebraska fan that always wants to see that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, they want to see the new guy, they want to see the young guy. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, you're seeing him. You're seeing him, okay? Yeah. This is what some of you guys want. And in the end, it'll pay out. I mean, to have a four-year starting quarterback, Taylor Martinez had to start as a freshman and things like that. Then there's a lot of things which obviously we don't know, and here's the weekend that Husker fans are waiting for. In fact, a buddy of mine yesterday said, hey, what's the spread on the game? You know, and I said, well, it's 4.5. Well, is that all? Is that all they're favored by? Is that all UCLA's favored by? I said, no, Nebraska's fair. And then you just get that snicker, that chuckle. I think you've got a lot of Nebraska fans, and it wasn't mean-spirited. It just was somebody that has followed Husker football a long time. And I think that's one of those things where there's a lot of people that are waiting to say, I told you so, when things don't go right, if they don't go right on Saturday.
The reason why people feel that way is, and I'm a huge proponent of Nebraska football, and I'm a little bit of a homer at times, but Nebraska hasn't given them enough reason to be optimistic. There's been many of these sorts of games over the last few years where this is a big game for the program. This is a key game for the Bo Pelini era. And they've failed in a lot of cases. You know, you go back to the games, the quote, bigger games that they won, their home games against Michigan, against Wisconsin last year, that sort of thing. But were those truly, truly big games? To me, and I always downplay earlier games. I always downplay games and say, you know, you got to look at the big picture and the conference, whatever. To me, this is as big of a non-conference game as we've had in a long time because of national perception.
And would
maybe,
you say,
maybe statewide perception.
Would you say, and this kind of just crossed my mind as I saw where you were going here, is this the biggest non-conference game since USC came in and wiped up Nebraska under Bill Callahan? Because I remember that being the game that Nebraska thought they could get back into the national perception, be a top 10 team, USC number one or two, whatever they were coming in into Lincoln. And first time that they ran the ball, they just ran it all the way down the field. And a lot of people, probably me and you included, think that Nebraska is the better team. Hope might be a better word, that Nebraska is the better team. But we know down deep in our depth where we don't want to talk about bad Husker things is that it could go wrong because it has gone wrong the last few times Nebraska's played this type of team.
When things have gone wrong over the last year or two, not that I'm an expert, but I didn't see it coming. I didn't see the Wisconsin debacle coming in the championship game last year. So that always gives you a little, you know, sometimes you say, well, I kind of see this coming because I heard some things in practice or I saw some things in practice. But to answer your question, I do think this is as big a game as we've had for a long time, maybe since at USC. And again, because of national perception, I watch a lot of college football, a lot of, you know, stuff from talking heads. Nobody talks about Nebraska. And, you know, Nebraska needs to play with a chip on their shoulder. They need to play like there's something to prove. They can't go out and play like, oh, yeah, we're here, we're back. They have to play like they're the underdog. And if you look at Bo Pelini teams over the years, that's when they've played their best, when nobody expects them to do some things. And you got to play with that. Where they've struggled is when they've of handling success, not handling adversity. That's why this is a big game, is from the national and maybe the statewide, maybe the local perception of, okay, can we win? Can we win an important game against a team that, listen, last year was as disappointing of a loss as I've seen in the last I don't know how many years. I was crushed last year because we were better than that team and we got handed to us from their offense.
And it was still a close ball game. chance to win that thing on the road.
Two or three plays, you know, one of those games,
always,
two or three
yeah.
plays make a difference, yeah.
Jeff says, what about the Virginia Tech game? I don't think that was near as big. I think this is bigger because that was supposed to be a competitive football game as well.
And the other part of that was, in hindsight, because of the way we lost that, giving up that long pass, when, I mean, we had that game in the bag. But going into that game, I didn't look at it and go, oh, boy, this is a huge game from a national standpoint. This is a big deal. We beat UCLA, and you know the funny thing is, we beat UCLA. Then a lot of people are going to say, "Well, yeah, we're 4.5 point favorites. We should have beat UCLA." So then you climb the next hill. But a setback is a big deal.
And what would make this even more brutal, in my estimation, is the time. Because then you play South Dakota State next week, and nobody is going to be fired up about that anyway. But if you're coming off a loss, South Dakota State, then a bye week, you got about a 3-week stretch. And if somehow Illinois keeps winning, then all of a sudden, Illinois is probably going to come in here and beat us on homecoming. But that's unfortunate where the mindset has gone over the last few years. It never used to be that way.
It's sitting there in front of us. You take care of business. You win this game. I don't care if you win it by one or if you win it by 17. You win this game. And then that sets you up to do some things and be in a position to win games you're favored in, continue to be favored in, up until those bigger games in the Big Ten schedule. But you're right. I don't want to talk about if things go bad. Let's not talk about that. But if things go bad, I don't want to be a guest on the show or a co-host on the show next week because you will have some people from either I Told You So or Fire the Coach guys.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting Husker Lunch next Wednesday at Cunningham's. Join us every Wednesday for our Husker Lunch with Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple. As I said, if it doesn't go well, you can just put the crying fest up front. I used a different word yesterday, but
what if it goes well? Let's talk about the half glass half full. If it goes well, then what? Are the
still be skeptics?
They're still
be skeptics.
Yeah, because it's because we were favored. Yeah. Oh, that's okay.
That's the way it is. But like they said, if Nebraska wins, and as I've pointed out on the show, and Sean Callahan said yesterday, Nebraska should be 7-0 going into November, and that's very impressive for anybody. That would make them a top-10 team in the country as they get ready for that brutal stretch with Northwestern and Michigan and Michigan State and Penn State in the month of November.
And I want that to happen just from a fan's perspective. That'll be fun. I mean, when's the last time as a Nebraska fan you felt that, where you're undefeated going into November and you've got some big games and fun games against quality teams, interesting teams? Even the Northwestern's where that's an interesting game. That's more than anything what I want to happen, because I want to get to that point where you're undefeated going into those big games and the excitement. You know, it takes very little to get me excited about college football, but I'll be giddy.
Let's take a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question of the day here, and you can vote on that at any time at ESPNSuperstation.com. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday's question: what do you believe regarding the allegations of the corruption with Oklahoma State? It happens in most all programs, or it happens in a small number of programs. Monty,
talk about the extent. That's a gray area, is the extent of it. Does it happen? What's it? Do little things happen in every big time program? Yes, I believe so. But these allegations, widespread, dealing with everything from academics to, you know, the drugs, the money, the women, the whole thing, that's expansive. And so I would say that it doesn't happen to this level unless you're at the SEC. Whoa.
67% think it happens in most all programs. 33% think it happens in a small number of programs. Our poll question for today, Midtown Mark Clear question: how do you think the Huskers fare Saturday? They win and cover, they win and don't cover, or they flat out lose. You can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Of course, my prediction, along with Jimmy Lankins, coming tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You want to throw your prediction out right now?
Nope.
Okay, there you go. Midtown Mark Cooler question. We will be back. Coming up, we'll be chatting with Matt Stevens, former UCLA quarterback, now the analyst for the UCLA Radio Network. Luke Hoover of RotoWire to answer your fantasy football questions. More with Monty Kratzenstein on the Huskers about what he likes through the first two games, all that after this.
Did summer come to an end along with your wish to lose weight? Did procrastinating get the better of you? The good news is it's never too late to get started. For a limited time at Complete Nutrition, come in and save 30% on all our weight loss kits. Our weight loss kits have helped thousands of people lose anywhere from 10 pounds to over 100 pounds. Save 30% on our number one sellers like CTS 360, ManCore, Charger, and Refirm. Come into a Complete Nutrition store today and start losing weight now. We offer diet and exercise plans along with a promise that we'll do everything we can to help you reach your goals. You don't have to go at it alone. You do have to want it because it all starts with you. With 30% off on all our weight loss kits, today is the time to come into Complete Nutrition and get started.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Hi, it's the Herd. The people we work with the most aren't always the people we see every day. Co-workers are often on the go, in different offices. Clients are spread across the country, certainly in my business, the globe. To work efficiently today, you need to have a stronger connection with your team. Build trust, stay focused, brainstorm. That's why you should use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Listen, it's just simply more powerful to meet online when you can see somebody face-to-face. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, your team is just a click away. We've used it. You share the same screen to collaborate in real time. Just turn on your webcam to make your online meeting HD video conferencing. Pow, just like that. Like you're in the same room. Launch or join a meeting from anywhere using your computer, using your smartphone or your tablet. Even present, believe it or not, from your iPad. Try GoToMeeting free for a month, 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Colin. Remember, use the promo code Colin. GoToMeeting. Meeting.
Saturday on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA football. It's a top 10 showdown in the SEC as the sixth-ranked Texas A&M Aggies host the top-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. Hi, this is Greg Daniels. Join Dale Hellestray and me for all the action as A.J. McCarron and the Crimson Tide look to avenge last year's home loss to Johnny Manziel and the Aggies. It's the Crimson Tide and the Aggies. If it's NCAA football, it's right here.
Saturday at 2:30 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Here is a patchy fog early on today. A few showers may linger early as well, then partly sunny with highs around 80, northeast winds 5 to 15. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy as we head back to a low of 52. Right now, 72.
I always like the lead-in music. We don't talk about it very much, but it's great variety. Always great variety. Sometimes. I always like it.
Sometimes. I've become old fuddy-duddy Dodger, you know, guy on this because it is always, and I get it. our producers have always been younger on this show. And they listen to different stuff than I do for the most part. I know almost everything that's played on the show. But then, you know, I hear three bumpers like that in a row, and I just go,
get off my lawn, guy.
Play me something with a banjo. Come on, now. Come on. Play me something a little different. Play me something from the 80s.
Play me something from the Ord Homecoming.
Of course, let's not get crazy here. I was listening to classic hits on the way in our sister station. They were playing Madonna, and I went, what?
What?
How is that happening? Well, how did that get on there? Give me a break. We do have Monty Kratzenstein's official Twitter account numbers, which should not be allowed to be followed. Monty follows 147 people. That's a lot of people.
I have a lot of interest, Doug.
How many of those would be ex-teammates, maybe, or have to do with directly with the Huskers?
A lot. A lot. And that's, Jeff and I were talking about it before, that's a lot of, and you know how it is when you start following people, and then all of a sudden, I haven't went through that first culling period where you go through and you're like, oh, this is too much repetition. I need to do that sort of thing.
So you follow 147. You currently have 34 people following you.
And how many of those are relatives? Do you have a check on that?
And Husker fans, if you want to hear some Husker or see some tweets of commentary that's not, oh, my God, I'm going to go jump off the bridge. Husker commentary, Monty will take care of that. And total number of tweets in this first, what have you been on, less than a month, right?
About 2 weeks.
You sent out about 39 of them. So since Husker game.
I'm also pretty careful. I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, I
gotta pee. I, you know, that's the other thing. Oh, I'm really hungry. Where should I eat?
I'm the mayor of Four Square. Oh my God! Look, I'm going to the Loper game, and I'm going here, and I'm okay. Wow.
You just offended half your listeners. God, I wonder how you get so many people to listen to you, because you offend some people.
That's why. If you can make it through the day, James from Grand Island, Monty, here you go. Has Bo won a big game yet? I don't think he has. Do you guys? And everything that you would have to, first you got to categorize what a big game is. Are you Absolutely. Playing a top 25 team that you're an underdog and win? Or are you playing for the conference championship and you win? Nebraska hasn't played. I get it. Nebraska's been in three championship games, and they've lost all three. Two of them very, very close. Coulda beat Texas. Shoulda beat Oklahoma. Last year, no way. Never happened. It was the definitely snowball running downhill against Wisconsin. Nebraska was never going to win that game on that night. I think it'd be a lot closer. 10 out of 10 times, that's going to happen once. Monty, has Nebraska won a big game under Bo? I said they won the Clemson game, the bowl game, the Gator Bowl. I'm looking at the scores here. They haven't won one that led off SportsCenter.
Right, and maybe that's the definition of a big game. I always ask about what's a big game. Well, if the overhyped machine of the talking heads, if they're talking about it, we have not won one of those games. So in that case, say no. But I'll also go Coach Osborne on you and say, you know, when you're at Nebraska, every game you lose, every game you play is a big game, because when you lose, because of the reaction. So, but according to the true definition of it, you know, are you clicking on ESPN and seeing us win a game? No, we have not.
Let me throw out a couple. And here's the problem. I'll throw out a couple of examples, and I can already hear Husker fan going, that wasn't a big game. Yeah. That wasn't a big game. Well, going out to Washington when Taylor Martinez started, a lot of people, in fact, I think Nebraska might have been an underdog, even though they were ranked eighth. Nebraska blew them out, 56-21. Okay, then later that year, they were upset by Texas, because Texas always beats Nebraska. But then a couple of weeks later, Missouri comes into Lincoln, ranks seventh in the country, and Nebraska handles them, 31-17. And if Nebraska doesn't win that game, they don't go to the Big 12 championship game, where they're up 17-0 on Oklahoma and eventually get beat 23-20. So I guess, do you consider that a big game? There was a game that Nebraska maybe wasn't supposed to win, and they won. Ohio State, that was when they were on the sanctions.
This is something else that Nebraska fans, maybe all fans, feel this way, but isn't it sad that you always think of the big games as the games you lose? I mean, I played in a lot of games in high school and college and a lot of different sports, and I always remember the ones, you know, the big ones to me are the ones you lose. And so, unfortunately, that's the case. But that's a great point. Maybe you could categorize that as you know, just by, you know, were the underdog, the team that we were playing against, what were they rated? You know, I think about Clemson, you know, that one of the first year, you know, should we have beat Clemson, you know, the underdog on the road, that sort of thing? Probably not. Is that a big game? Yeah, but what did that lead to? You know, that's the other part of it too, is winning a game. What does that lead to? Well, we won some pretty, maybe so we thought it was big games, but that led to, unfortunately, big losses at the end.
And Michigan State, Kirk Cousins rolling in. Nebraska was ranked 13th. Michigan State was 9th. That's the game Lance Thorell picks off Cousins right at the beginning, and they go on and win that game. Unfortunately, then they give it back with Northwestern the next week. But if they hadn't beaten Michigan State, they wouldn't have been moving on the way they were. They didn't end up going to the championship game. I think the one thing, Monty, that is very glaring, very obvious, Nebraska doesn't win on the road with Bo Pelini against anybody that's even in the ballpark of the talent that Nebraska has or is better. Nebraska has not been winning.
Has not. You're right.
Coin flip or underdog games on the road.
That is, and you're absolutely right about that. And we think about games, except for all those games you mentioned. Yeah, a road game, you know, with a bowl game. But Washington was really the only one where you're talking about underdog on the road.
The last time. That first year where Nebraska should have beat Texas Tech in overtime and messed that up after getting thumped by Missouri at home, that's about the only road game, unless I'm missing something. Going to Virginia Tech, should have won that, the bomb over yeah, O'Hanlon's head with a minute and a half to go. You'd shut him down the whole game. That was one that got away, but that just seems to be the way all of these road games are. The game at Washington, where Taylor Martinez got the start as a freshman, would have to go down as the biggest road win Nebraska's had under Bo Pelini.
How about we take care of business here for a few weeks, and then we can go to Ann Arbor and see what happens in November? How much fun would that be? See, I'm being optimistic. I'm looking forward to fun. Let's have some fun. Let's go into Ann Arbor as the underdog, and that with 100,000+ pom poms waving, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Can you buy about 95,000 pom poms and put them in the seats so we can do that, or towels? That would be great. Let's do that.
Former Michigan defensive back Marcus Ray, who's on the Pulse tonight on the Big Ten Network, is going to join us on the show tomorrow to talk about that. I'll ask him what it felt to be on the second best team in the country in 1997.
Absolutely. And see how that works out for you.
Four Big Ten Pac-12 matchups this week. Definitely, and especially with USC taking it on the chin, Monty, the Pac-12 has Stanford, Oregon, and everybody else, but Nebraska taking on UCLA, Ohio State taking on California, those are the two favored teams. Washington playing Illinois, and Wisconsin at Arizona State, the Big Ten underdogs in those games. Boy, Big Ten can't stub their toe this weekend. I mean, you can't how many, do – how many need to go 3-1.
How many besides Nebraska are favored?
It's 2-2, Ohio State. And then Wisconsin's a slight underdog at Arizona State. Wisconsin needs to win that football game, and that's one team I will be picking in Pigskin Picks tomorrow.
That was another interesting one to me when you talked about UCLA, Nebraska, you know, Nebraska being the favorite. I was surprised. Maybe I don't know enough about Arizona State, you know, down there, but I was really surprised about that one. I thought Wisconsin, you know, just looking at it without analyzing, without getting deep, I thought, oh, yeah, Wisconsin will get them by a touchdown.
I'll hook you up with my Vegas guys.
You know guys in Vegas?
I know people that know people.
I'll keep that in mind.
I need some people. I need to know some more people. That's all there is. Here, we'll take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk to Matt Stevens, analyst for the UCLA Radio Network and former Bruin quarterback. But before we do that, if you're going to watch the game at home or re-watch the game at home like Monty likes to do, relax in your brand-new recliner from Bruce Furniture in Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. They've got the best brand names, and they do more with easy credit terms, free professional delivery, trusted brand names like Serta, Southern Motion, Tempur-Pedic when you're going to sleep overnight. Maybe you like to sleep in that chair. How about Lazy Boy, Best Chairs, Lane? They've got Ashley Furniture, England Quality Home Furnishings, and Von Bassnett Furniture Company. They've only got the best brand names at Bruce Furniture, where they have free setup and free haul away, free delivery. Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
They call me Murphy. And I'm a service tech at Quick Lane Tire and Auto Center. It was 9:30 on a Saturday morning, and a Kona Blue Mustang drove in.
I'm due for a tire rotation.
I poured her coffee, black. She hopped on Wi-Fi, and I got to work. I inflated, rotated, and aligned the tires. Multi-point inspection looked good. Took a half hour, tops.
With a full range of services, great prices on 13 name brand tires, and no appointment necessary, Quick Lane is ready to serve. Visit quicklane.com.
Progressive Insurance presents Flo's newest song. We compare rates to give you confidence.
We compare rates to find you a great deal, so you can be even more confident. Not that you need more confidence. I'm sure you're a great person with great posture, and you probably look really good in corduroy pants, which isn't easy.
Comparing rates to help you save. Visit Progressive.com today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? as authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Here is a patchy fog early on today. A few showers may linger early as well, then partly sunny with highs around 80, northeast winds 5 to 15. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy as we head back to a low of 52. Right now, 72.
Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy night. I love to hear the thunder, watch the lightning when it lights up the sky. Makes me feel good. Well, I love a rainy night. It's such a beautiful sight. I love to feel the rain on my
face. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You intentionally went and pulled that up, didn't you?
No.
You didn't have that before the show. No.
Is this bad music Thursday?
No, Steady Rabbit, baby. Love a rainy night.
I know what it is. Oh. I didn't say I didn't know what it was.
Now, wait a
embarrassingly,
minute.
I know
here.
What it is.
Hold on. I like to say that I like almost every kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for opera or acid rock. Those are the two things that I've always said as I've grown up. I can pretty much listen to everything else from big band to country to hip hop to rock. I can listen. You tell me you're not a country music fan growing up in this?
I love country music, but
that ain't it.
That just doesn't seem like a lead in to the vibe that we have going on here. That just didn't seem like that brought in a lot of energy. But maybe I'm wrong.
Do you want to comment on Jason Peter? That was a follow up here. They want us to get Jason Peter on the show, who is all the way to the other side of the discussion. He is passionate, but he sees it one way. I don't know that he's, and we've had Jason on the show, and he's great, but he would be about as opposite of you that I can think of there being out there. You're very calm, steady party line, not rock the boat, keep it even keel. I think that's fair to say. Jason wants a national championship right now.
Well, Jason's one of those guys, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for him and what he's done on the football field. But he's one of those guys that if there's a lot of black and white in his world, not a lot of gray. And you know, I'm not like that. Jason doesn't quite understand that not every football player approached the game the way he does, right, wrong, or otherwise, or the way he did.
Mm-hmm.
And not every coach coaches the way he played. And that's, and you know, the, but, you know, he's popular to listen to because.
Well, and one thing, unfortunately, I think Jason does have there is a market for Jason to be on the radio in the state of Nebraska. I will say this, and I don't think this isn't mean-spirited or downgrading. Jason can talk football, but there are other things to talk about besides just football. Even in Nebraska college football, even in June, there's more to talk about than just Husker football. I think that's where he kind of lost any audience, is that you can't talk 4 hours of Husker football every day in June
without
the same audience listening.
He knows an incredible amount about the teams that he played on and him and his teammates and what made them successful and that sort of thing. You kind of have to expand a little bit, I believe, but, you know, different styles.
Talking about winning big games and even big games on the road, Mark says, how about the Oklahoma State game in Taylor's freshman year? That was the 51-41 shootout down at Stillwater where they're having so many troubles. Yes, big game. That was a big game, but
you didn't remember it the week or two afterwards. That's the problem, is what happened next after that. That was a fun game, though. That was a lot of offense guys back and forth.
We'll get more to the Huskers. We'll get more to maybe even the Oklahoma State debacle that's going on here in just a minute. Getting closer to game three for the Huskers and game two for UCLA, and a lot on the line for this football game. For Husker fans, biggest non-conference game of the year, and UCLA rolls in after beating Nebraska last year out in Los Angeles, 36-30. We're pleased to catch up with the color analyst from the UCLA radio broadcasting crew, and Matt Stevens. He joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Matt, good morning. Thanks for the time. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. This is going to be a great game, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, let's before we get to the X's and O's, obviously, let's get to, unfortunately, the cloud that's over UCLA this week. And anytime there's a tragedy on off the field when it comes to athletics, it always affects everybody a little bit differently. How is everything out there right now with the way the team is handling the passing of Nick Pasquale?
You know, Jim Mora is just sort of closing the ranks and keeping the team away from the media during this week. Obviously, Nick was a very popular player amongst the team. It's a tragic loss. You just can't get over it. It's just one of those things that, unfortunately, you have to grieve, and you just can't move on. So Jim Mora is trying to do the best he can to protect his team, but Nick, like I said, very popular player, and it's a really tough loss and a real emotional moment, I think, for UCLA and their football team. And, you know, they'll get over it, of course, but like I said, Nick was a great guy.
Of course, a lot of people may remember Matt as part of the UCLA football team back in the 80s. Did you ever, as a player, have to go through anything that was even similar to this?
You know, it wasn't until after I had graduated from UCLA that I lost a couple of close friends. In fact, my best friend. And so I have a little bit of experience. He got hit by a car as well, my best friend, when he was riding a bike. And it's just something, it's a loss. And it really sinks home that, you know, football is just a game. You know, you're going to college. But, you know, in real life, bad things happen, and it's unfortunate. So, you know, I can't even believe what the parents are going through, you know, Nick's parents. I mean, I have a son myself, and it's just got to be real tough.
We're talking with Matt Stevens, part of the UCLA radio crew that'll be in Lincoln on Saturday for UCLA and Nebraska. And I guess the thing is, Matt, everybody handles it a little bit differently. It doesn't matter if you're 18 years old or if you're the head coach of the football team or have been around forever. I guess maybe an early morning game on Saturday might be a good thing that the kids don't have to sit around and think about that.
You know, I mean, you're going to be playing in Lincoln, Nebraska, and UCLA knows what's at stake, you know, and all the Nebraska players know that UCLA lost a player this week. So, but when kickoff happens, you know, it's going to be a great football game, and you're going to have to focus again back on football. And I'm sure that's what Nick would want all the players to do. He'd really want them to go out with a great effort and, you know, try and win the game.
Well, let's talk a little football here. As we've mentioned earlier this week on the Doug and Daddy Show, Nebraska probably needed a game last week. The feeling coming off Wyoming maybe wasn't what Husker players, coaches, and fans wanted, and then they come out and have a pretty dominating performance, even though it was against a less-than-superior Southern Miss team. But UCLA, the way you guys came out and just pasted Nevada, who has put up a lot of wins over the last few decades, you guys still have to be feeling pretty good.
Well, you know, I think this is going to be a track meet. Get out the baton for the relay team, because I think both teams have the capability of scoring a lot of points. And UCLA proved that they have a lot of offensive weapons. What was surprising about that win against Nevada, because UCLA returned some a lot of, you know, good players, is they played 11 true freshmen in that game. And three or four of the true freshmen had significant impact in the football game, one of them being the guard, offensive guard Alex Redmond. I mean, he is a NFL-type offensive lineman, just ready to go. And Miles Jackett, linebacker, as a true freshman, had 8 tackles in that football game. So there's a nice mix of true freshmen and then, of course, juniors and seniors on this UCLA football team that can share their experiences having played in some big games. So I don't think these true freshmen are going to be overwhelmed in front of, you know, capacity crowd in Nebraska.
Talking with Matt Stevens, former UCLA quarterback, now part of the Bruin Radio Network here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Is it going to come down simply to turnovers, or is it going to come down to one of these teams playing better defense?
You know, I think it's going to come down to one of the teams playing better defense. UCLA, they do have a good front seven, and probably the strongest part about the football team is their defensive line. They played a true freshman in Eddie Vanderdoes that is the number 10 recruit last year coming out of high school, and he was pretty much unblockable. They get Ellis McCarthy back, a 340-pound nose tackle. The defensive line's been pretty stout, so UCLA's going to feel confident, I think, in their defensive front, but the big question mark is UCLA's secondary, where they had to replace the entire defensive backfield. So you know, you're going against Taylor Martinez, and he's returning his entire receiving corps. That's got to be a big concern for Jim Mora. So I think whoever plays better defense, because obviously Nebraska, they lost a lot of guys on defense, you know, is going to win this football game.
Of course, it's just the second season for Jim Mora. Didn't take him long to get a nice win, and that was against Nebraska last year. Were you surprised at the success that UCLA had last year?
Absolutely shocked, to tell you the truth. you know, the UCLA football team, you have to remember, have lost to USC, their rival, 50-0 at the Coliseum. I mean, things were pretty low for the Bruins, and for Jim Mora to come in and turn it around, and you know, especially so early in the season against Nebraska, you know, such a quality opponent early at the Rose Bowl. I mean, I think all the Bruin fans were very surprised. And now Jim Mora, with this recruiting class that's come in, the coordinators have had another year with their players. They've instilled their, you know, philosophies on what they want to do. And Jim Mora really stresses how the team practices. And they know how to practice now. They know the expectations of Jim Mora. So after 1 year, I mean, it's even been a bigger jump than the surprise it was last year.
Where have you seen the most improvement outside, I guess, of just having some flat old confidence?
Well, I mean, Brett Hundley, their quarterback, number one. I mean, he had a great freshman year. He came back this season. He's an inch taller, 10 pounds heavier. He's just so poised and confident in the pocket. He knows where to place the football. He knows how to run that no-huddle offense, and it seems like UCLA is running it at a faster pace, and that's what you want to do is get as many plays as you can in, and that's from the coordinator, Noel Mazzoni. And then on defense, you know, Eric Kendricks, he comes back after 150 tackles last year, and then he goes alongside Anthony Barr with a better restructured defensive line. Even though you lose Dayton Jones, who was a first-round draft pick for the Green Bay Packers, there's just more depth on that defensive line. You can get guys in that in the rotation that are fresh, they're young, they're eager. And Lou Spanos' system on defense is all about pressure, getting after the quarterback. So I think after a year of understanding both coordinator schemes, UCLA's in a lot better position.
What about return game? When we think West Coast, when we think California, we think speed. You've got Evans that's not only a wide receiver, but he can return punts for you. You've got good kick returners. Nebraska's kicking game through the first two games seems to be pretty darn good right now. If we were going to get a big play, who's that going to come from?
You know, Shaq Evans right now is returning the punts, and Randall Goforth and UCLA is using two punt returners instead of just one, and one becomes a lead blocker. And it's been pretty effective against Nevada, you know, but Shaq Evans is going to be that guy. The kicking game, you know, Sean Cunnington is a recruit out of Florida. He's the punter. You know, this is his first time. He hasn't even punted yet in a game. He didn't have to punt against Nevada. So, you know, there's a big question mark there. New long snapper. Kamie Fairburn, he comes back. He's a solid kicker. He had a game winner against Arizona State last year. But, you know, special teams, you know, you got to say it's in Nebraska's favor right now because of the youth of UCLA.
Just a couple minutes left here with Matt Stevens, former Bruin quarterback and part of the UCLA radio network. What do you expect in Saturday, Matt?
You know, I think it's going to be a slugfest. In the beginning, I think both teams want to try and establish the run if they can to give some kind of balance to both Martinez and Hundley before they start hucking the rock all over the field. And I think we're going to see a lot of big plays. And UCLA, Brett Hundley, he has learned how to run the football and take off and go rather than staying in the pocket. Last year, you know, over 50 sacks, and that's surprising from a guy like Hundley that can move around as effectively as he can. So Brett Hundley is going to be able to run the ball. I think as we get towards the third and fourth quarter, the defenses are both going to get tired, and it's just going to be a pinball machine, you know, the scoreboard. I mean, I think there's going to be touchdowns all over the place, and it's going to come down to a couple of plays. And like you said, turnovers. You know, when you go on the road, you're going to play in Lincoln, and, you know, I'm speaking on behalf of UCLA, you just cannot have turnovers because the crowd gets into it. UCLA is a very young team, so you want to make sure that you don't lose confidence if you're Jim Mora in the third or fourth quarter with a big turnover. So ball security is going to be a big key. I think Hundley knows where to place the football now. And the other thing about Brett Hundley, you know, I talked about him mentally. Physically, I mean, he is tossing the rock at about 100 miles per hour. You can really see the velocity has improved with Brett Hundley, and he knows where to put the ball in tight spots where maybe last year he wasn't as confident. putting the ball in real close windows. He can do. He was much better against Nevada. So, like I said, though, I think the third and fourth quarter, you know, put your seatbelt on there in Husker Stadium because it's going to be really exciting.
Matt, in about 30 seconds that we've got left here, what do you make of that USC debacle Saturday?
You know, you have Marquise Lee, and you cannot get him the football, and it all comes down to quarterback. Matt Barkley, of course, went late, I thought, in the fourth round of the Philadelphia Eagles, and now they're seeing the loss of what a great quarterback can do for a football team. And, you know, Lane Kiffin was so unsettled coming into the opener and then the next game not picking a quarterback. And what that does is if you have two quarterbacks that are playing in the game, they only split reps 50-50 during practice. And if you're going to be a starting quarterback and you want to be effective, you know, those reps got to go like 75-80% to the starter and then only, you know, less to the backup. And, Lane Kiffin said that Cody Kessler is going to be the starter. It all comes down, you need a good trigger man if you're going to play in the Pac-12, also the Big Ten. If you want to be a good football team. And right now, USC does not have a good trigger man, even though they have a pretty solid defense.
Matt Stevens with the UCLA Bruin Radio Network, former Bruin quarterback. We won't even get to the Chiefs-Cowboys matchup this weekend. Matt, we'll see you Saturday in Lincoln. We really appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Yeah, looking forward to playing in Nebraska. Like I've said before on our show last year, I've been back there and I've got my butt kicked by the Cornhuskers. So hopefully UCLA can come rebound now that it's in the year 2013.
Matt, we'll make sure it's all good for you guys. Thanks for the time. Be good.
All right. You too.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Stevens joining us here. And one of the good broadcasters, one of the great analysts for college football in the state of California, has picked up a couple awards for the work he's done. And you may have been across the field from him and didn't even remember or know it.
Yeah, but he doesn't remember me either. I was trying to think. I think he might have been the quarterback before Troy Aikman. And we got beat by Troy Aikman my junior year out there. So he might have been. I don't know when he graduated, but it could have been.
Yeah, I'm thinking thinking 86, so I don't know, because he was drafted in 87, so maybe he didn't play. Well, he said he played against Nebraska, so 84.
I was
83 and 84.
I was a junior and senior for the Gothenburg Swedes. I don't think and I know he doesn't remember me from that.
So that was your second junior year and then your senior year? Or how'd that work?
Redshirt junior year.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. It's time to talk a little fantasy football here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Our fantasy football report is brought to you by Fanatics, your fantasy football headquarters. 23 high-definition televisions, including their HD projection TVs, free Wi-Fi to follow your fantasy football teams, and, of course, the NFL Red Zone and NFL Sunday Ticket. Fanatics guarantees that every NFL game is on at least one TV. And, of course, you can be a part of the Doug and Daddy Fantasy Football Challenge. We'll let you know who the Week 1 winner was here at the end of the segment. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com and click on the banner for the Doug and Daddy Show and Fantasy Football Challenge here on ESPN Radio. It is so great to talk fantasy football. And you know what? The segment has become so big, Luke has his own open. Let's hear the Luke open.
It's time for a fantasy football update with fantasy football expert Luke Hoover of RotoWire.com. Send in your fantasy football questions now and let Luke guide your fantasy team to a championship.
Wow. Wow. How big a deal do you have to be to get that?
Man, that's
impressive. If I stay here another 10 years, can I get something like that?
I'm not sure we've ever had co-host music like that, let alone weekly guests. Luke Hoover, RotoWire and RotoWire.com, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Luke, I don't even think you could hear that, but it was pretty impressive, man.
No, unfortunately, I missed it. Now I'm pretty curious.
Man, I'll tell you what, it was like we had a professional talking about you, and I don't know where we get those kind of guys. So,
those are few and far between around here.
Well, let's get into it. Folks, again, if you've got questions, we've got some to get to. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. You can email us to the Net Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, or you can Facebook us to ESPN Superstation. Week 1, just like about every sport, is reaction and mostly overreaction. Luke, where is the biggest overreaction? As I see, Edelman and Thomas are the two biggest pickups, but I don't think that's necessarily overreaction. What is the biggest overreaction after week one?
It's definitely not Edelman and Thomas. They both completely warranted getting picked up in any format, you know, with not only their great play, but the situations that they're in. I think, you know, some overreaction, certainly there were a lot of poor running back play. So you could, you know, look to that immediately. Guys like C.J. Spiller, Maurice Jones-Drew really struggled. Whole bunch of running backs put the ball on the ground. You know, the David Wilson fumbling may not be an overreaction, because if he does lose one more, he's going to be having a hard time seeing the field for Tom Coughlin. But I think he'll get a chance to redeem himself this week at the least. You know, and Stephen Ridley as well. With Shane Vereen having the injury, unfortunately, he's going to, you know, be the guy, even though he did fumble twice this week. And I think he bounces back and hangs onto the ball. So a lot of running backs you could certainly be worried about. You know, as far as receivers, some big names that just didn't produce as you might have expected. Des Bryant, certainly, and now he's got the foot sprain, although it sounds like he's practicing and will play this week. And then guys like Dwayne Bowe and Mike Wallace, really poor production overall. Obviously, you're not about to start worrying about Calvin Johnson, even though he didn't have a very good outing himself.
Yeah, huh. Doug, huh? Do you have Calvin Johnson and Dwayne Bowe on your same team? Oh, yes, I do. Let's get to a few questions here. We'll start with Terrence. Which wide receiver, Mike Williams, Harry Douglas?
You know what? I suppose, and this is kind of crazy, but if Roddy White were to actually be ruled out, and I don't think that he will, I think he'll still play through the high ankle sprain he's dealing with. I would go with Douglas because, you know, of Matt Ryan's ability. But I would still chance Mike Wallace, give him another shot. I think that was in part due to the matchup. You know, he's drawn tough coverage from Joe Hayden last week, and I think Ryan Tannehill looks his way more this coming weekend.
My bad there, Mike Williams from Tampa Bay, not Wallace.
Oh, no, well, in that case, I would easily say Mike Williams. He's got a really good matchup with the Saints. The clear number two there in Tampa. They really don't have that many other options in the passing game.
Okay, which one of these two should Terrence hang on to? Looks like he's in that drop and add mode. Tompkins of New England or Marlon Brown from Baltimore?
It's close, but I wouldn't drop a guy like Tompkins just yet. I know he struggled. He only caught four of his 14 targets, but the key takeaway there is that he had 14 targets from Tom Brady. They start to develop a little more chemistry and get on the same page. You know, with New England being so banged up, Amendola's now, they're already talking about he could possibly miss next week as well. Tompkins is going to be, you know, getting a lot of passes his way.
This is from Mark, who says, I have good depth at wide receiver and need a running back in a PPR. Is Bolden for Daryl Richardson a good trade? I didn't even start him last week because I have Cobb, DeSean Jackson, Decker, T.Y. Hilton, and Givens. So would you make that trade?
I certainly wouldn't trade Bolden. I know his value is probably not going to be any higher than it is right now, but he just looks too strong in that offense. Kaepernick targeted him most targets in the league last week, I believe. And, you know, he came away with 13 catches, a ton of yards. He's not going to obviously reproduce that type of stat line, but Daryl Richardson struggled. He only averaged like 3.2 yards per carry, I want to say. Did get the ball a lot, but that could end up being a timeshare in St. Louis if one of the other young backs gets a chance to see the field and plays well.
Andy and Carney, I need to start two of these four in a non-PPR league. So regular league, need to start two of four. Andrew Luck, the quarterback. Which two of these four should he start? Roddy White, Steve Smith of Carolina, T.Y. Hilton, Greg Jennings?
I would personally go with Steve Smith and Hilton. It's hard for me to trust Roddy White right now dealing with the injury. He's the best of those guys when he's healthy, but right now, with the ankle sprain, you just don't know what you're going to get out of him. And Greg Jennings is catching passes from Christian Ponder, so there's not much more to say about that.
Here's one from a PPR league. Need to start one of these three as my flex. Starting Arian Foster, do you go with Ben Tate, James Jones, Kenny Britt?
Well, you know Ben Tate's going to get the ball. Unfortunately, we saw Britt and Jones combined for just one catch last week. I think James Jones bounces back and has a nice performance this weekend. You know, Rodgers spreads the ball around, but it's going to come Jones' way at some point. It's almost a coin flip, but I'd probably lean towards Tate for, you know, the confidence. You know, he's going to get touches, probably 10 to 15 total.
Luke Hoover of RotoWire and RotoWire.com with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. If you've got a question for Luke, tweet us, Facebook us, or email us. Tweeting is always just as quick at ESPN 1460 1550. Luke, what do you do with Jonathan Dwyer? It looks like this guy is going to be an NFL starting running back in the Monday night game against Cincinnati. And for everybody that's looking for a running back, this guy could maybe be a Band-Aid. Do you go get him? Can you play him? What do you think about it?
Well, I would, you know, if I have room on my bench, if it's a relatively deep league or you're really, you know, needy at running back, I would probably add him because I think he will, you know, see some carries. But I still feel it's a timeshare. We saw last week they barely ran the ball in general, and when they did, they struggled because the offensive line is a mess. Mike Pouncey's out for the year now with torn ACL. You know, and so Roethlisberger really can't, you know, keep teams honest with the pass because he's got no protection. So that offense in general is pretty bad. And since he had a very strong defense, they really limited Forte, less than 3 yards per carry last week. I'd like to have, you know, a starting running back on my team if I can put him on my bench, but I would certainly wait and I would not play him under any circumstances this week.
I want to get to the question as we've got a couple more rolling in here, so I'll flip it around here. We always like to ask, who's the stud you should set, and maybe who's a guy that has a great matchup that you should play this week? Pick a position. Give me what you think.
Well, I'll jump in at running back real quick because there's just a lot of confusion, I think, after week one at the position. But a guy who really, really underperformed that I'm probably benching, I have him in two leagues myself, is Lamar Miller. You know, 10 carries last week, 3 yards, and I know Cleveland has a better defense this year. That's pretty unacceptable. Indy held Darren McFadden at less than 3 yards per carry, played pretty stiff against the run, and I, you know, have to see more out of Miller, you know, who got a lot of hype in the preseason before I'm going to put him back in my lineup. A guy I definitely am starting, who I ripped last week and was really impressed with his performance, is D'Angelo Williams. Got a really nice matchup with Buffalo. Saw Shane Vereen ran really well on them. Similar type of runner, you know, to D-Will, and I expect him to have a nice week. And I like Maurice Jones-Drew to bounce back against Oakland, and I have to say the name, but I'm definitely playing Steven Jackson everywhere this week. I mean, you weren't going to bench him anyways, but going up against his former team with the Rams, I really like what he can do.
Ryan says, I need one wide receiver, Randall from the Giants, Cecil Jim Shorts from the Jags, or Brian Hartline from Miami?
Ooh, that is actually a really tough one, and because you know New York's going to have to throw it a lot to keep up with Peyton. So Randall, you know, he had 100 yards this last week when Eli was slinging it playing from behind, and he could reproduce that, but certainly the other two are better options. I'd lean towards Hartline because I think Miami's going to have to throw it a fair amount against Indy to keep up with Andrew Luck, and he saw 15 targets. Kind of hard to ignore that.
Couple more for Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Dustin says, should I worry about Jamal Charles being banged up? Would you start Murray in place of Charles or Lynch?
DeMarco Murray, I would want to have in my lineup, you know, if I could, but I'm not going to bench Jamal Charles. It's, you know, he can play through it. It's a quad injury. I think he'll be okay. You know, it's just a bruise, and you just can't bench a guy of that talent.
Tight end, Greg Olsen or Bennett?
That one's pretty close. I actually am predicting, though, another touchdown on Martellus Bennett, and I'd give him a shot.
And let's go to the Twitter account here, and I think we know the answer. Steven Jackson or Reggie Bush?
Oh, well, you know, it's actually a tough one because as much as I like Jackson, particularly in this matchup, especially with Roddy White being banged up, Reggie Bush was an absolute beast last week. I wouldn't bench him just about any format. Pains me to say it as a Notre Dame guy, but Reggie Bush looked awfully good.
Well, Luke, this impacts me. It impacts some of the guys I know. Steven Ridley, plus it's tonight. What do you do with this guy?
You know what? They have to give him the ball. I think LeGarrette Blount will eat into his workload a little bit, but you have to give the guy a chance to redeem himself. With Vereen out, you're going to need him all year. You know, the passing game is, you know, depleted a little bit because of the lack of receivers. I'm sure you could have better options, and the Jets did play very good against the run last week and slowed down Doug Martin quite a bit. But, you know, Josh Freeman certainly isn't Tom Brady. Even though Tom Brady doesn't have the weapons, they're going to have to respect him.
so Ridley should have more running lanes than Martin did. And I would play him in a flex if I could. I wouldn't want him to be my second back, though.
So Ridley over Sproles?
Oof. No, probably not.
Okay.
I mean, it's close because I think Ridley has maybe a better shot at finding the end zone. But with Darren Sproles, you know you're going to get 70, 80 total yards most likely.
All right. I think we've ran through them all. Luke Hoover, thank you so much. And, folks, you can keep it up. Keep up to date with all the very latest news at RotoWire, RotoWire.com. That is what ESPN.com uses for all of their fantasy gear. So RotoWire, number one. Did you have anything, Monty?
Who has time to be that smart? Are you kidding me?
Luke, okay. We've never asked Luke. How many hours a day is a normal work day for you at RotoWire?
It's a long day. It's a long day. Got to do a lot of research and keep up with, you know, all the updates and news that's going on. But, you know, you have to put in the after-hours time. That's what it's about.
Hard work. It's just like any industry, Doug.
Well,
hard work pays off.
Probably pretty fun, too, isn't it, Luke?
It could be a lot worse. Not a bad gig.
could be doing a lot of other things that are worse. You're right.
All right. Sorry Notre Dame lost to a Big Ten team, but we won't talk about that. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. Talk to you Thursday, Luke. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Luke Hoover, RotoWire and RotoWire.com are winners. Jeffrey, that we have the codes. We just don't have the actual names as of yet, do we? It was kind of a blowout, 198 to Rialt, 77. And then Atlanta St. Aces, or Atlanta Street Aces, was able to pick. That was a great picture, by the way. So 25, we got the grand champion there. We've got the pizza going out. We'll get that information to you, Jeffrey.
Make sure if you guys are, you know, if you guys did win, make sure you check your ESPN.com inbox. The message on how to pick up your prize information will be in that email. So
it's free. You can do it every single week. Floating salary cap. Better the player, higher the price. Set your team each week. The values of the players change each week, so you need to make sure you stay under the salary cap. $25 gift card each week to the winner. Free large pizza from Fanatics to second place. And all the winners are entered into a drawing for the Super Bowl party for you and your friends at the end of the year. Go to ESPNSuperStation.com. Sign up for fantasy football. We're back with a couple of more Husker comments and wrapping things up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Hey, Mike Golic here, reminding you, if it's game day and you're not manning a grill of sizzling meat, spatula in one hand, a cold drink in the other, you're doing it all wrong. Visit grilling.com/ESPN in Kingsford. We'll show you game day done right. You could even be named Kingsford's Tailgater of the Year. Get 4 tickets to any game during championship week and win a life-size statue of yourself. That's Kingsford Charcoal, keeper of the hashtag tailgate rules and the official smell of football season.
$5 Footlong Nation, rejoice. Right now at Subway, any regular footlong is a $5 footlong, all September long. All your favorites, like the sweet onion chicken teriyaki, the Subway Club, and even the Italian BMT are just $5 each. With tons of $5 footlongs to choose from, we need an entire month to celebrate. So hurry in to get yours.
Subway. Prices and participation may vary. Plus tax will applicable. Exclude Supreme Subs. Additional charge for extras. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
When it comes to Sunday, after I do all my honey-dos, of course, I had the Cunningham's Journal. Why thinks I go to my buddy's house, but sometimes whatever you don't know won't hurt. Cunningham's is the best place to watch all your favorite sports, Wi-Fi, internet, to keep updated on all your fantasy players, juicy burgers, and the coldest draft here in town. Anyways, I was face-deep in my Juicy Lucy until my wife walks into the door. Guess the truth does hurt. Escape ordinary at Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Don't fire up Nick Saban. Let's go to the Ben Popper inbox. SEC, does that stand for Strategically Everyday Cheaters? Early call that Alabama gets stripped of their title just like USC. Yeah, and gets stripped of their title.
Have I talked about how much I like Mark Richt in Georgia? Have I talked about that ever?
Yes, you have.
Love him. No allegations there, is there?
Well, hopefully not.
We'll see. Just never say never, but God.
So tired. Get away from it, folks. Escape Ordinary and head over to Cunningham's Journal and satisfy your taste buds with one of their delicious gourmet burgers, like the Old Blue Burger, piled up with a half pound of juicy beef, topped with crumbled blue cheese and crispy bacon. Maybe you can create your own masterpiece. There's over 22 toppings to choose from. You can throw brisket on your burger. You got chicken. Mix that up. Pepper jack cheese, mushrooms, barbecue, ranch sauce, so much more. A full menu at Cunningham's. While you're face deep in your burger, feast your eyes on your favorite sports teams, on all of their great televisions and the huge 10-foot projection screen. Specials during Husker games, they're there for you Saturday. Cunningham's with entertainment on the weekends. You've got Cunningham's Journal, The Loft, and The Courtyard, home of the Husker Lunch every single Wednesday.
I've got a guy
to a Husker Lunch.
I've got a guy waiting for me at Cunningham's right now at the table. He said in the back toward the main level when your show's over.
Okay, and tell him to make sure there's an order of Journal Bites when you arrive.
There you go.
You know,
okay,
kicking it, waiting there.
I'll tweet it. No, I'm not going to tweet it.
final thoughts here. What do you like about Nebraska football going into this weekend?
Oh, I like our youth. I like our athleticism. I like the fact that we haven't turned the ball over very much. Will that continue? I don't know. Big question is, can we cover and tackle in space? I don't know the answer to that. I know the game plan, and the game plan's good, but it all comes down to one-on-one execution, and that's what we don't know.
Again, Nebraska can execute as good as they want to, but UCLA, the other team, whoever that is, they also have a game plan to execute. And you always say, well, we didn't execute. Well, that's because maybe they did. So what do you expect on Saturday?
Wait, when we're talking about execution, we aren't talking about getting beat one-on-one. We're talking about missed assignments, covering the right guy, being in the right spot, that sort of thing. I think a lot of times, you know, it's an overused term, execution, but you're basically talking about, yeah, you got a game plan. The last guy with the chalk wins.
Yeah.
Okay. But it comes down to, and I'm using this just an example, but can Josh Banderas cover back out of the backfield? You know, or does he hesitate one step or does Nate Geary, you know, his eyes go to the quarterback or our safeties? You know, listen, watch the safeties. Watch what they do, because how they line up and where they are at pre-snap will tell us a lot about what the game plan is and how the game plan adjusts throughout the game, because I don't think we're going to be able to put safeties over the top like we like to do and still stop the run. So that means we're going to have to put guys in the box, which is going to put guys in one-on-one situations. Can we cover them? Can we keep from cheating, looking at that quarterback when he starts to scramble and him throwing it? That's some of the keys.
What should happen Saturday?
What should happen? Well, all the
talent versus talent.
All the smart guys say we're going to win by 4.5 points.
Let's wrap it up with this. We've got Thursday night football tonight. The Jets and Pats. The Lopers are playing at 6 o'clock. Kickoff is at Emporia State. Kearney High is playing at Lincoln Southwest tonight. Hear the game live from Seacrest Field on Classic Hits 98.9 and PlatteRiverPreps.com. Pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7. By the way, PlatteRiverPreps.com. Photos from the games that we broadcast for you on the radio. Podcasts of all the high school games. It's all free. It's all there for you. Also, volleyball going on tonight. Kearney will host Hastings. Adams Central's at Kearney Catholic. The premier matchup, it's Columbus SCOTUS at Grand Island Central Catholic tonight as well. And the Nebraska volleyball team is going to be playing the first of their three matches at home during the Emeritus Challenge. 3-1 St. Mary's Gales come in from California to play tonight at 7. Dayton on Friday. Iowa State on Saturday. You can hear tonight's game on 1230 KHS. They're all three going to be on Nebraska Educational Television. And the Tri-City Storm playing another preseason game against Waterloo at the Fall Classic that gets underway at 1 o'clock. You can go to stormhockey.com. For more information, we want to thank our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show today, which include Matt Stevens, radio analyst for the UCLA Football Network and former Bruin quarterback, Luke Hoover of RotoWire and RotoWire.com, and of course, Monty Kratzenstein, who picks the Huskers by exactly 4.5 Saturday.
Hey, thanks for having me in. This is fun. Time flies when you're having fun, buddy.
Anytime. Enjoy your lunch at Cunningham's. Tomorrow, Marcus Ray from Big Ten Network, Jim Langan's in with Pigskin Pick'em, and a whole lot more. Have a good one, folks. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!